www.WPRN.com. On Saturday, November 1st, 7 a.m. until midnight, WPFW presents Brown Sugar, The Genius of D'Angelo and the Explosion of Neo Soul, celebrating his unique style and innovative approach to black music, as well as Neo Soul, a sound both retro and futuristic. Programmers James Funk and Captain Fly, DJ Lance Reynolds, Jasonic, The Culture Shack, and Soul Conversations Cruise, and Decipher's Ill Street Grooves come together in this special day of fundraising to explore D'Angelo's music, artists that influenced him and the genre, and the global neo-soul landscape that defined a generation. That's Brown Sugar, The Genius of D'Angelo and the Explosion of Neo-Soul. November 1st on WPFW.
Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening, it's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon, and as you know, we are still in Fun Drive, but we got plenty to talk about. Not just that, not just Fun Drive, not only Fun Drive, but we're going to talk about that. You know, also, oh my gosh, I'm gonna do some more cognitive dissonance stuff where basically what I like to do, and this is what I like to do with myself. I like to do it with myself. That's why I love the challenge. And that is find something that people believe, that I believe, that you believe, that whoever the people believe, and see if I can find some data to challenge it. Not just say, I think you're wrong, but challenge it with data, with empirical evidence to say, you ain't got to argue with me, but here's the evidence and here's how I got where I got. And I always say this, it's fine, disagree with me. But what we have in our country now is people that just make assertions. Well, this is true. Well, anybody can say this is true. Well, you know, that's true. Anybody can say that's true. But to me, I could say anything. I could say Kalia's a Martian. It sounds good, but I got to prove it. He may, in fact, be a Martian. I don't know, but I would have to prove it, right? He's giving me the old Vulcan. No, he's a Vulcan. Live long and prosper. I knew it was from another planet. I just didn't know which one. At any rate, but bottom line is we're going to do that today. Oh, boy, we're going to challenge some things that you're being told by your government, imagine of all things. Boy, this is going to be fun. So those of you who are like, no, the government's telling me the truth, you ain't gonna like this show. You probably already know. Anyway, so let's get started here. And I think this is important. And this show will prove it. The great thing about WPFW is that I can do this, that I can just sit down and say, you know what, let me look at some of the things that I got, look them up real quick, get out some of the articles, some of the data, and just say, you know what, I'm going to prove some things that I believe. And if somebody wants to call and say, I think you're wrong, fine. But I got stuff that I can lay on the line here. That's all. Stuff that I can lay out, right? And I can do that, you know? You can't do that on mainstream media. When I was in mainstream media, I knew I had to dance around with stuff, right? And I didn't. I remember one time I was heading to New York and I was going to go on a particular channel and they said, this is what we're going to talk about. It was Nationwide TV. They said, this is what we're going to talk about. I said, okay, why don't you send us your talking points? And back then we had Blackberries, right? And I sent them my talking points. And when I got to New York, they said, probably not going to use you today, but your limo's outside, so hang out in Manhattan and have fun. You got the limo for tonight. Just do whatever you want to. And, you know, we'll discuss it later. In other words, that is your consolation prize. We don't like what you were going to say. That ain't going to be allowed to be said on TV. But you can have a limo in Manhattan. How about that, right? Yeah, whatever. Hey, it wasn't bad having a limo in Manhattan for a night, but I learned my lesson, and that was, to be frank, and that was, well, from now on, when they ask me what my talking points are, I'll just lie, and I'll make up talking points that I think they would be okay, and then when I get on the air, I'll say what the heck I wanted, and that worked for quite a period of time until I had to leave. I couldn't do it anyway. Couldn't do that thing, mainstream media thing anymore, right? Anyway, so my point is this. I don't have to do it here at PFW. Nobody asked me for talking points. Nobody said, Garland, you better send us up. We don't like what you're going to say. No, I've had people call the station and complain that darn Garland, he's saying Russian or Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, you know, all that. We got North Korean, you know, we've got a list of official countries you're supposed to hate, and Garland doesn't hate any of them. And boy, that just infuriates some people, right? So I don't have to worry about that here, because I can say you're being took, you're being lied to, you're being had. Knowing that when people are lied to, they will not get mad at the person that's lying to them. They will get mad at the person that tells them they're being lied to. That's the way it works, right? And hey, I'm ready to, you know, I'm okay with that. So here's my point. We are in Fund Drive, and the number is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. You can also go to WPFWFM.org, and we have our donate button there. But the bottom line is this: in order for people to have the opportunity that I have to aggravate you to death by saying things that you absolutely don't want to hear, that make you uncomfortable, mainly they make you uncomfortable because there's a lot of foundational evidence to support them. Because of that, WPFW is a great place to be. And you got a lot of great hard workers here. We have volunteers that give their time. We have paid staff that, you know, we've got to pay. And man, we got lots of expenses. So please call 202-588-9739. And there are people standing by to take your donations. Also, you can go to WPFWFM.org and hit the donate button. And as always, say it's critical. And I want to thank those who really stepped up to the plate last week, because people really stepped up to the plate and helped us last week. And it is critical. And that is that, you know, if you got 20 bucks, if you got 50 bucks, if you got 100 bucks, whatever you have is greatly appreciated. You know, it is highly appreciated, you know. But as I say, and we have people that step up to the plate, you know, there's a lot of people listening to this show, and we know it, and I know a couple of them, but who are loaded, loaded, loaded. They know that they could give $1,500, $2,000, $5,000, even $10,000, wouldn't even know it was gone. That, hey, just think, we're getting close to the end of the year, you need some tax deductions. BFWB, but this is a good thing. You don't wait until the 25th of December and say, oh, where am I going to donate money this year? I need some tax stuff. WPFW. 202-588-9739 or WPFWFM.org. There are a lot of people that don't have much that are listening. They deserve this programming, great music, great people, an opportunity for you to call in. What a tremendous opportunity WPFW provides for our community, for our city, for our region. And those of you who can afford, if you can, you know, if you can give $1,000 or $500 or $5,000 or $10,000, whatever you can afford, you know who you are, you know that you can afford it. And people have been doing that, understanding that there's a lot of people that have nothing. Right now, you got a bunch of federal employees laid off, don't know when they're going to, you know, when are they going to be back? Some of them don't know if they're going to be back. Help them out. 202-588-9739. Now let's talk about cognitive dissonance. I want to talk about China. Cognitive dissonance, what is that? When you believe something with all your heart and evidence comes up to show an alternative perspective that maybe you're wrong. Okay. I'm just going to tell you, I know the game. The game is always Saddam is evil. We've got to do something about Saddam. He's the guy in our government. And every channel you turn on says Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. And all the people walk around like a bunch of stinking robots. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. And then the government says, we got to fight him over here, so we will fight him here. And all the people go, yes, we must fight them over here, so we don't have to fight. And every, you know, they just hear repeat what they're told. And it's Saddam Hussein. And that lasts for a while. And then, okay, now I got an idea. Osama bin Laden, he's coming to get you. It's Al-Qaeda. And people walk around and go, oh, my God, Osama bin Laden, he's been Al-Qaeda. They're going to get us. And the government says, hey, guess what? We got this little thing, and it goes to red when there's going to be terrorists and Al-Qaeda is going to get you. And then we'll turn it to green when there's no election and we don't need to brainwash you. And the people go, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, it's on red. Osama bin Laden. And we're brainwashed. We are literally brainwashed. We are told who to hate. They point out a country, and it's all more than likely they probably got oil or something that the government wants. And Gaddafi. Now, what's interesting is, with a few exceptions, generally it's a country where the people like their leader. I'm saying that's the case in Saddam Hussein, but it was with Gaddafi. And it is in China, and it is in Russia, and the people like their leader so much that when people get find out, when you tell them, but the Russian people love Vladimir Putin. He has incredible ratings. Oh, no, you're lying, Garland. Well, that ain't what the evidence is. And now, of course, you know what it is. China's evil. China's bad. China's doing terrible things. Let's talk about China a little bit, and I'll give you my assessment of China. I see nothing evil about China. China, let's see, the last so-called war they had was a little something in 1979 against the Vietnamese. And other than that, China ain't much on war. Show me a country they've invaded. Show me the evil that they've done as we invade country after country. Show me where China's invaded someone. Let's talk about what we can tell you about China. Let's start. Oh, by the way, it's a socialist country. And what the Chinese call it? They say this, socialism with Chinese characteristics. Now, if you're a good capitalist, you know that socialism doesn't work. It's a disaster. Economically, it's horrible. The people are oppressed. That's what we're taught from the day we're born as Americans. But I don't believe that because the evidence says something different. Let's start here. I went online and I searched. I said, well, let me search these AI things and see what they say about China's economic transformation. I'm not going to read it all. And then I said, let me search various historical places. Let me read you some numbers that I could find out about China. Because as we know, as we're taught every day, socialism doesn't work. China's socialist. Let me read this. China's economic transformation from one of the poorest countries to one of the world's largest economies is considered the fastest sustained expansion by a major economy in history. Since the initiation of economic reforms in 1978, China has experienced average annual real GDP growth of nearly 10%, with some sources citing an average of 9.5% through 2018. This growth has enabled China to double its GDP roughly every 8 years. The pace of this transportation, particularly from 1978 onward, is unmatched in human history. The World Bank has described China's growth as the fastest sustained expansion by a major economy in history. This rapid development has lifted more than 800 million people out of poverty, a feat unparalleled in history. Now, if you think the World Bank is some kind of a socialist propaganda machine, that's up to you. So let's start here, because I'm not just saying that I believe something because it's stated. I say that I believe something because a data set points to that. So we start here. We start with a country that since 1978, its economic growth is unmatched in human history. My understanding, I could have my numbers wrong, I've been researching it, somewhere between 50 and 70% of Chinese business is owned by the government. They have a planned economy. They have a highly a regulated economy, right? Somewhere between 50 to 70% is owned by the government. The other 30% roughly is owned by private industry. So it is a combination of government-owned corporations and private corporations, but it is highly regulated. So the corporations can't do anything the government don't tell them to do. It won't let them do. Number one, it's highly regulated. And number two, they have a planned economy, which means the Central Committee of China, they get together and they say, we want a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan. Right now, one of their plans is to bring people, they brought so many people out of poverty, and they'll literally say, we want to bring this many people into the middle class, this percentage by this. And so it's planned. And you know what? When you plan, sometimes things actually happen that you plan. But remember, every day you're told that they're evil, they're terrible, they're horrible, they're the bad guys, right? Let me continue. So then that becomes a question. As I hear from people, this is what I hear. Well, but they're communists, they're socialists, so therefore they oppress the people. Well, you know what? I think the Chinese people should be the judge of that. So let's see if the Chinese people feel that they're oppressed. Let's look at the data. Let's not make proclamations. Let's not go with, well, Garland thinks this or Garland doesn't think that. Let's go with the data sets and see what we can find as to whether or not the Chinese people are happy. In May 2020, a poll conducted by China Data Lab at the University of California, San Diego's School of Global Policy and Strategy showed that over 90% of the Chinese people supported the government leaders during the COVID-19 outbreak. On May 5th, 2021, Gary Wu, a professor of sociology at York University in Canada, wrote an article on the Washington Post website that Chinese citizens' trust in the Chinese government had increased to 98%, and they increasingly trust all level of government. 49% of those surveyed said they had become more trusting of the central government since the outbreak began. The World Survey Value Survey, a global survey of public values conducted by the World Federation of Social Science Networks, showed that in 2018, 95% of Chinese people had great trust in the Chinese government. That showed that this trust had withstood the test of time and had never faded as Chinese people have walked along their government, alongside their government. According to more recent surveys, trust in the government among Chinese citizens remains high. In 2023, about 85% of Chinese respondents trusted the government to do what is right, ranking China first among 28 surveyed countries. This aligns with the Edelman Trust Barometer, which reported 89% of Chinese citizens trusted their government in 2023, down slightly from 91% in 2022. Okay, so here's the thing. Oh, among Chinese citizens interviewed by Edelman, that's the Edelman Trust Barometer, by Edelman, a leading global public relations consultancy, 89% said that they trust their government, the highest percentage of all countries surveyed. Now, let's put those two together. Let's use our logic and let's say, okay, does this make sense? So according to every survey you can find, every from California, from world organizations, you name it, says it's in the 90% range, somewhere around 90, a little higher, maybe a little lower, but right around 90% of Chinese trust their government, feel like their government's doing the right thing. Great trust. Listen to this, 95% of the Chinese people in 2018 had great trust for the Chinese government, okay? So, 85% of Chinese in 2023, 85% of Chinese responded, trusted the government to do what is right, ranking China first among 28 surveyed countries. Okay, so you're looking at a country that likely has the highest or close to the highest trust in the world from its people. Now, is that logical? When taken in the context of the first data set that I put forward, and the first data set is what? This country has had faster economic growth than any country in the history of the world. And this country has brought 800 million people out of poverty. A feat unparalleled in history. So let me ask you this. Let's take data set one. They've grown their economy faster than any economy in history, and they brought 800 million people out of out of poverty. Does that align with data set number two that says 90% of the people in that country have great trust in the government? They absolutely align. It makes sense that if the people's lives, if their economic situation is improving, that they're going to like and trust the government. Just like in America, what are people saying? This place is crazy. I can't afford rent. I can't afford food. I can't afford to raise my family. I can't afford food and student loans. I can't afford. Do you want to tell me, you want me to tell you what them surveys look like in America? If you ask American people, do they have great trust in the government to do what is right? Zero. It'd be the opposite. 90% would say no. But why? Because their material wealth has depreciated. So my point is this. I could argue China's good or bad or right or wrong, but here's what I can tell you. That their socialist economy, and I'm told that socialism doesn't work, but their socialist economy has grown faster than any economy in history. That they have attacked no one, and gone to war. They did have a border skirmish with Vietnam. They've attacked no one. They've overthrown no countries. They've started no wars. They've done nothing. But what has happened is their people has increased their, they've been brought out of poverty, 800 million people. So it makes sense. If a government brings its people out of poverty and makes their life better, they're going to support the government. And all the numbers say that. So here's my point. Here we sit in the United States, a government that's, I mean, a country where the government's completely mad. I mean, come on. Our options were Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. That was our options, right? And we ended up with Trump. You know, I mean, come on. This is a country that we're supposed to, hooray, they're doing the right thing. No, they're doing nothing but the wrong thing. And a country that's right now, they got a war in Ukraine, they got a genocide in the Middle East, and they're threatening Venezuela. And they're putting troops on the street to chase us around, for God's sake. You know, so my point is, people are here are obviously unhappy. And if you ask people why they are unhappy in this country, they have every reason and every right to be unhappy because of what their government's doing. But if you look at China, that ain't the case. But meanwhile, if you turn on the news, what's the news going to tell you? China's evil. They're doing bad things. They're oppressing their people. You know who doesn't think they're oppressing their people? Their people. And you're like, and people in America, well, you know, we won't have any rights like the Chinese. Well, the Chinese apparently don't feel like they got rights. The Chinese people are very happy with their government. They're very happy with what they're dealing with. They're very happy with their system. They're happy with everything. And we are, they're happy, we're crappy. That's the way I would put it. So what right does the United States, of all collapsing empires, a country that's falling apart, for God's sake. This country effectively looks like the back of the White House right now, demolished. And meanwhile, I got to turn on the news and listen to a bunch of propaganda tell me that a country where 90% of the people like and trust their government, that has had economic success unparalleled in human history, that's the bad guys. And we got to stand up to the bad guys. That's the propaganda that we get. It's to me, okay, I understand people. I hate to say this. It's not the propaganda that bothers me. It's I ask myself this question, how in the name of God can people believe that? Number one. But number two, now let's go to the cognitive dissonance. There are people that believe that, and I just presented all the evidence in the world. And you know what? As Voltaire said, any belief that is not founded in evidence, in what is it? Any belief that is not founded in reason and evidence will not be swayed by it. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's the reason. Because if you don't reason yourself into a belief, you can't be reasoned out of it. The evidence is clear. China ain't messing with nobody. The people in China are happy. They're making money. And China's economy's grown. And we're being told to hate China and that China's the bad guys. Now, let me do one more before I jump back to some of the things that I said. So last week, or the week before, I had a guy who calls all the time he's a Democrat. And so if you're a Democrat, you must hate Russia and Putin's the bad guy. I understand that. It's like being in a cult worshiping the sun. If you're in a cult that worships the sun is God or something like that. And how can you be in a cult that worships the sun if you don't worship the sun, right? And if you're a Democrat, there's certain things you got to believe. And if you're a Republican, there's certain things you got to believe. And thank God I'm neither a Democrat or Republican, so I can go by the data sets. I don't have to say Putin's evil, the Russians are evil, the Chinese are evil, the whoever's evil. I can go by the data sets and I can make my own decision because I don't belong to a brainwashed cult, okay? So I said last week, which I know, I said, look, I mean, you know, you're telling me he's a dictator. Putin's a dictator. This guy, Maduro's a dictator. Xi's a dictator. This is what we always hear. And this is my question. Why is it that the people that we're told are dictators are the most popular leaders on earth? Putin's not a popular leader. Let's go by the data set. Statista.com. You can look this up. Statista, I think it's owned by the Ströer Corporation. It is a German corporation that does all kinds of PR, does everything, but it's known for statistics. Statista, the name, right? I could do many, many more, but let's just do Statista and see what their statistics said. In June 2025, 86% of Russians approved of the activities of the Russian President Vladimir Putin. The popularity level was 9 percentage points higher than in September 22, when the figure declined following an announcement of a partial mobilization in the country, right? After at the end of February 22, it declined, and then after that, it increased. Okay, so right now, so my point is, you can look all of this up if you want to. Let me see if I can get back to that page. So the bottom line is this. According to polls, Statista, and I could go on, you can just look it up yourself. There's, I don't know how many polls. Do you approve of the activities of Vladimir Putin as president? And then they got all of the numbers here, and they're always anywhere from 70 to upper 80s. You've got a graph here, approved, disapproved, no answer. And then underneath, they've got some more information about it that you can look up. And go to Statista.com and just look it up if you want to. But there's plenty of other places you can look up. And there are Western sources, American sources, et cetera. So my point was this. We're told President Putin is a dictator. But 86% of the people approve of him. And let me tell you, I know a good bit of Russian people, and I have yet to meet one that doesn't like him. They love him. They think he's the greatest ever. So how are you a dictator if 86% of the people in your country approve of you? And might I add, when he had an election, when Russia had an election, President Putin got 87% of the vote, and they said he stole it. And I'm like, but your own polls, all of the American polls, the European polls, had him at 86% approval rating, and he got 87% of the vote. I would argue, well, that aligns with the polling. Would he steal the last 1%? And how can you be a dictator if Western polls, what did the Western polls go twist people's arms? And then, as I said, I haven't yet to meet a Russian that doesn't love Putin. He's a guy that they love. So the idea that he's a dictator, do they vote for him? Yes. Do they have their own elections? Yes. It appears to me, I'll put it like this. I've never seen any evidence, as much as I've researched, that President Putin is a dictator. Now, let me add this. Venezuela. Maduro's a dictator. I've never seen any evidence of that, and I've spent a lot of time in Venezuela. So I'm going to talk about Venezuela in a second, and we'll go to the next dictator. As you're told by the official CIA, this guy's a dictator. Let's talk about Venezuela in a few minutes. Now, for a number of reasons. But I tell you what Venezuela does have. They got more oil than any other country in the world. But I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. This is strictly about bringing goodness and kindness and chocolate bunnies and roses to all the people. It has nothing to do with stealing all their oil. Don't you believe that? The United States doesn't do that. All right, let us continue. Look, I think one of the things that's important here, as is evidenced by this conversation, whether you like it or not, I don't care if you like it or not, if you don't like it, then you're suffering from cognitive dissonance, because I'm just pointing evidence. And not only am I providing evidence, I'm saying to you, these are the data sets that I can find. If somebody says, should I believe you, Garland? I say, no, you shouldn't. Search for your own data sets and find them. Search for your own and find your own. Don't believe me. I could be anybody. I could be CIA. I could be an alien from another planet. I could lie. I could be making this up. Don't trust me. Don't believe me. You need to research this stuff. But understand this, when you research it and you find evidence, I don't care what that says, I don't believe it, because then you're being a stooge, a brainwashed stooge. Find it and look at it. And is it biased? Is it unbiased? Where'd it come from? What am I looking at? And make your own decision. But don't make decisions based on brainwashing techniques that simply say, if we repeat the same thing, or every day you turn on the news, Garland Nixon's a dictator. Garland Nixon's a dictator. Garland Nixon wants to invade your country. He's a terrorist. And you hear that every day. And you just repeat what you heard. Look it up for yourself. Believe what you can prove. Anyway, so here's my point. Going back to WPFW. WPFW. As you know, we are in Fund Drive. And I'm allowed to say these terrible things. I'm allowed to actually provide data sets to make an argument for my points that are unpopular points. In fact, this is the speech that you're hearing from me is, in fact, the speech that is protected by the First Amendment. The First Amendment particularly protects unpopular speech. If I was to get on here and say, let's see, what would the CIA like me to say? Oh, yeah, China's evil, Maduro's evil, Putin's evil, Iran's evil, Israel is not committing a genocide. They're just nice little people that are handing out flowers and puppies. If I was to say all the things that the CIA wanted me to say, I could be on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox all at the same time. But when I tell you you're being lied to and you're being had, I can't get there from here. But I can get on WPFW, and that is important. And if you're uncomfortable, then you're listening to the right show, and you're listening to the right station if you're uncomfortable. So I would ask those who want to support a concept that says people can present alternative ideas, alternative thoughts. People can say to you, I don't disagree with the government, and I think they're lying to you again. I can do that here and nobody's going to push back and I will be defended. Can't do that other places. And you know what? What do I say every week? Call in and disagree with me. That's fine. But if you disagree, don't just call in and make a proclamation. You're wrong. Have something with you. Have a little something with you. Well, you know, Garland, I have a data set from somewhere. Let me give you and I give people my email address. Send me an email and send me the info. Nobody ever seems to do that. Send me the info and I'll look at it and we'll discuss it. But at any rate, WPFW allows that. How awesome is that? So let me give you the number. The number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. That's the phone number that you can call and that you can help make a difference. You can help keep everything on the air. You can help keep... you can help to maintain a medium wherein people can hear things that may be shunned by the ruling elite, that may be shunned by the intelligence community, might be shunned by the leaders of these parties. That, oh, don't you listen to Garland Nixon, whatever you do. I'll bet you right now, think about this. Right now, if you talk to the Republican Party and said, hey, should we listen to Garland Nixon? Wait a minute. He's telling you that China and Venezuela and are not your enemies. And he's telling you that perhaps Israel's up to no good. The leader of the Republican Party is going to say, you can't have this man. Get him out of here. Now, what do you think the leader of the Democratic Party is going to say? Exactly the same thing, don't you think? That's what we used to call in the old investigative community a clue. If both parties would listen to this show and would vomit in their mouths, oh my God, no, he didn't say that. That's a clue. That's a hint, right? That this is not some partisan crap. And I'm willing to defend it. But WPFW gives me this opportunity, which is fantastic. So let me tell you this. As I constantly say on this show, look, if you can afford anything, $20, $5, $100, $200, whatever you can afford, it's greatly appreciated and it will help it. But, not a but, that would mean alternatively. In addition to that, why don't we say it this way? In addition to those who are just, you know, they got $5, $50, $20, $100, whatever, which is, you know, those things come together and make a big difference. And of course, we have a great sustainers program, which allows you to say, it could be $20 a month. I'm going to do $20 and just sign me up for each month. And each month they'll take $20 out. I mean, that's a great option too, the sustainers program for whatever you can afford. So we have options for people who maybe don't have as much means, but would like to be a part of the WPFW family, would like to be part of that 8% that helps keep us on the air. You can call in and be a part of the sustainers program for a lower amount. But it will be what's called in the business community, RMR, recurring monthly revenue. How about that? But additionally, we have people who, you know, right now are sitting on a lot of money and they're sitting there listening right now. And they're like, you know what? I could give $10,000 and wouldn't even blink. And I know it. You know it. Everybody else knows it. Well, you know what? For the guy that's sitting in a tent on New York Avenue right now with his bicycle and his dog beside him, and he's hungry and his dog is hungry, too. And he's got a flat on his bicycle, but he's got a little radio and he can listen to WPFW, but he doesn't have no money. Well, you know what? That guy can't give, but you may be able to give $1,000, $5,000, or $10,000. But you know what? If you don't help, his lights go out on his radio and he can turn it on, but there will be no WPFW. So please, those who can, make up for those who can't. This is an opportunity. You know, I always say, you know, people... oftentimes, like, I don't know whether I want to give money to these different charities. Some of them are scam. Well, if I give this guy some money, he'll go just spend it on alcohol and drugs. If I do, I don't want to. Well, you know what? For all of those people who question where they can donate, well, now you know. You can donate to WPFW and you don't have to ask those questions or make those excuses. The number is 202-588-9739. Additionally, you can go to WPFWFM.org and click on the donate button. If you're calling right now, we got people standing by. You can say something to them. You can work with them. And you can, you know, if you've got something you want them to say to me, or you want me to give you a call, if you give a nice chunk of change, just give them your phone number and say, tell Garland a call. Or if you make a nice big one, just big donation, just say, here's my number and tell Garland to call me and I will give you a call and thank you personally myself. How's that? The number is 202-588-9739. Or, of course, you can easily go to WPFWFM.org. I have so much fun doing this show. And at the end, I get to play music, house music, old school music. Then sometimes Kalia picks one and I'm like, oh, what's Kalia going to have today? And we get at the end of this show, we get some fun music. So thank you. 202-588-9739. Call now. People standing by. Help keep WPFW on the air. Now let's talk about Venezuela. I talked about the last time I went to Venezuela. Let me talk about it a little bit. Plane lands. Oh, gosh. Maybe 2020, 2021. And the plane lands, right? And there was massive sanctions at that time, just sanctions. You know, you never understand the United States government and the U.S. empire until you go to a country that has been economically devastated intentionally by the U.S. because of sanctions. And I went there. I'm like, man, this place looks rough. There ain't no planes moving. Our airplane came in and, you know, landed. But and I'm like, oh, my God. And it looked bad. And there was nothing happening there. So we land and we go to the airport. So we get out and we walk in. And no, so let me be honest about it. I get off, right? And there's a woman working there. And we walk in and I look at my buddy and he says the same thing that I'm thinking. That's got to be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life, right? And we walk by. I'm like, my God. And I thought, well, I mean, she was like a model. And I'm like, well, I guess maybe because we're coming in on the plane and they wanted to make you look good. So, you know, it was a group of people coming in there to, we were going to meet with government officials and we were going to look at their voting process and evaluate that and all these other things, right? And I thought, well, I guess they put out the pretty woman to, you know, make a good impression. And then after a couple days in Venezuela, I'm like, no, that's just pretty much what all the women in Venezuela look like. Did you know Venezuela has like more Miss Universes than any other country? Women, the most beautiful women you've ever seen in your life. That's something that's very obvious about Venezuela. Okay, just throw that in now for guys who thought, yeah, I better go to another country and get a beautiful wife. Venezuela is an option. Let me tell you that. There's lots of beautiful women. Come on, the most beautiful black women in the world in Washington, D.C. You ain't got to go far. But anyway, let me continue. So we kind of wandered around. I saw a lot of desperation, struggling, poverty. There wasn't many cars moving. There was a few motorbikes around. The gas stations were closed down. I saw old Toyota dealerships closed down. Everything's closed down. It just looked rough. And you know, in talking to people that went there back and forth, friends that had been there many times, DJ Prashad, he was there. A lot of people were there. We were discussing it, people that went back and forth. And what I found out from people was it was, of course, a thriving. Well, at one point, the U.S. had a I forgot the guy's name, but the U.S. had installed an actual dictator. I don't know if you know this. And so the U.S. had a puppet government running Venezuela. And the Venezuelan oil was being taken by a company that was owned by Standard Oil, the Rockefeller company. So bottom line is a U.S. company, more oil than anybody else in the world. The U.S. had a dictator in there running the country, and the U.S. was stealing the oil. The U.S. companies were pumping the oil out, were selling the oil on the market, and not a dime was going to Venezuela. So we were robbing the oil. Along comes Chavez. There's a government, he takes over the government and starts spending the money on the Venezuelan people. Imagine that. The U.S. government was in charge of Venezuela. They had a dictator in charge. They were stealing all the oil. There was a revolution. Then Hugo Chavez comes to power and he nationalized the oil. He's selling the oil and he's doing things to help the Venezuelan people. They're building free houses. They're doing all kinds of things. I remember riding down the road in Caracas, and I saw this huge long line of all of these high-rise buildings. And I said, what are those buildings? And I said, okay, well, here's the deal. That used to be a military base. And Hugo Chavez said, that base is too big. I want you to cut it in half, and I want the rest to be built into high-rises for free housing for the people. Venezuela's gotten like 400,000, 500,000 free homes in a country of 30 million people. Free. Free if you're poor. Free. You apply to the government, and it's like older people, women with children, you know, things like that. People who are handicapped, things get first choice, but they give you a house. Now I ask, hey, what's the cost of electricity and water? Oh, no, you don't pay for electricity in Venezuela. That's considered a human right. This is the evil dictator Maduro. Maduro was a former bus driver. Hugo Chavez, it was his right-hand man. When Hugo Chavez was in charge of Venezuela, I don't know if you know this, you can look it up online. They had a program, Venezuela, because they had so much oil, they had a program where they gave free heating oil to Americans, to poor Americans. Did you know that? Look it up. They also had something called Petrocaribe, where what they would do, Caribbean being Haiti, they gave Haiti a lot of free oil. So a lot of the poor countries and poor people in the region, Venezuela would give them free oil, free gas, free stuff, because they could. So what did the United States do to reward Venezuela for all of those good deeds? They overthrew Hugo Chavez. They kidnapped him. Millions of people, millions and millions and millions came to the street, and they said, we're going to turn this country out if you don't give them. The U.S. had to give them back. But the U.S. continued to say that he was a dictator and all that crap. The people loved him. They called themselves the Chavistas, Chavez. In fact, if you go to Venezuela and talk to the people, they'll say, we are the sons and daughters of Chavez. We are the Chavistas. They'll say that to you, right? We're just telling you the things I learned in Venezuela. I also learned that what we're talking about is a policy that is very much related to race. Okay. In Venezuela, you got like 60 to 70% of the people or higher are black, indigenous, or mixed, which tells you why the women are so beautiful, right? They're mixed people, or they're black, or they're indigenous, you know, some mix of that, right? And those are the people who are Chavistas. They were the poor because you had a white ruling minority. These were the Spaniards. They were left behind. You look at them, they look like they're from Spain, right? They were left behind by the Spaniards to be the ruling elite. Look at like the Juan Guaido types. These are the people that the United States is trying to put in power and keep in power. A white minority. Venezuela's very race. It's all about race. The white minority, the U.S. government wants to keep in power and put in power because the white minority will hand all of the oil to the United States. The black and brown and indigenous people are the Chavistas. They supported Chavez, and now they support Maduro, and now they will fight. And they now, one of the things that I've said is this: when you go there, they have what's called their militias. What does that mean? They gave millions and millions of people, millions. They armed them. Here's a gun, so you can support the revolution. And so the people are there, and they are armed by, last I heard, I think they got about, so they have their military, they have a military, and last I heard, so far, they're training people now, they've got them armed, everybody's armed, hundreds, last I heard was around 2 million people that they've given, you know, AK-47s to and bullets and things of that nature, but they're training them right now, training them up to fight just in case this thing goes. So last I heard, they got 500,000 to 800,000 that have been through the latest training to get ready. Trust me, if Americans go in there, they're dead men. Dead men. They'll be cut to pieces. It'd be the stupidest thing they've ever done in their life. Come on, you're going to go fight a country with millions of people that are armed, that are going to fight for the revolution? Not a good move. I'm just saying that. You put troops on the ground, it's over for them. Anyway, before we go a little further, I'm going to read. We do have some people. Remember, 202-588-9739. And I can read all the names, right? I can read all the names. I'm not going to give you any numbers, but I'll read the names. Thank you very much. Oh, my dear friend, Juliet in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you very much. Friend from Hyattsville. Thank you, friend. How about Tony? Oh, from Torrance, CA, man, back from Tony and I've been friends from back when I was at KPFK. He says, you can thank me anytime. I thought everything you said was credible. Justify. because I run with it. 90% is okay, 10% fake news. All right. Thanks for Ibrahim in Chantilly. Steve in College Park says great alternative news and views. Tony, again in Torrance, California. Wow, man, Tony's back. The war machine versus humanity. Who's winning? Did 47. Alaska's underwater. Who approved the White House ballroom? Or is that the reason? All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Darnell and Alexandra, keep up the good work. Support WPFW and friend in Chevy Chase. Good old friend. Well, thank you very much. Everybody's rolling. 202-588-9739. We're almost halfway there. Almost halfway. So please, those who can, you know, make a big donation to get us there. It would be very, very helpful. Everybody, I mean, we've got people giving a little bit. We got people giving a lot. So those who can give a little bit, we appreciate it. And those who can give a lot, hey, get us over the hump. 202-588-9739. Let's get back to Venezuela. So bottom line is, I was one of many people who reviewed their voting, the Venezuela voting process. Another person who did that, you might have heard of him. His name is Jimmy Carter with the Carter Institute. When the Jimmy Carter and the Carter Institute, they went and they did the same thing that I did. They reviewed the Venezuela voting process. And afterwards, they said, it's the cleanest voting process in the world. And I wish ours was like that. And when I reviewed it, I looked at it and I said, it's the cleanest voting process in the world. I wish ours was like that. I mean, in Venezuela, every voting booth you go to, every place is set up exactly the same way. Everyone's set up exactly the same way. In Venezuela, everyone, when you turn 14, you get a government ID, and that government ID has your thumbprint on it. When you come to vote, you hand them your ID. Here's my ID. But what happens if you forget and you lost your ID? You put your thumb on the thumbprint machine and that ID pops up with your picture on it. So in Venezuela, all these Republicans and conservatives, we've got to have ID. They got ID in Venezuela. So everybody that votes, they know who they are. Oh, by the way, you don't have to ask for a recount. In Venezuela, after the election, when they bring all the votes together, they have a recount. And you know where they do the recount? Live, online, and everybody can watch it. It is the cleanest thing you've ever seen in your life. I wish our election was like it is. If it was, then every 4 years, whichever party that loses wouldn't be saying I've been had, because that's the way it is now. I can't tell you what's going to happen in 2028, but I can tell you that in 2016, the Democrats said, we've been had. Trump stole it with the Republicans. Then in 2020, Trump said, I've been had. The Democrats stole it. And then in 2024, the Democrats said, we've been had. Trump stole it again. Well, here's all I can tell you about the United States at this point. Every 4 years, whoever loses is going to say it was stolen. That's guaranteed. They don't have that problem in Venezuela because they got the cleanest election you'll ever see. The Carter administration said it, and I saw it with my own eyes. By the way, thank you for Junior in Mount Airy. Oh, he says that I can call him. Wonderful. You guys just send me his address and send me his phone number. I'd be happy to call him. Good old Junior in Mount Airy. Be happy to call. Thank you very much. All right. We're just about a little over halfway there. So we need you to call 202-588-9739, or you can call 1-800-222-9739. Oh my gosh. We only got 13 minutes. So please call now. We need some big fish. We need some big people calling in to help keep WPFW on the air. We got some great music. We've got, I don't see Robin, but we got somebody standing in for Robin who's going to do a fantastic job. So you're going to get some good music next after you hear the rantings of a madman. But first, of course, you know, me and Kalia picked out something awesome old school song for you. So you're going to get that too in a very few minutes. So that's the bottom line on Venezuela. You know, I went there. I found, if I had to sum it up, I'd say it's another race thing. It is really another race thing. It's the black and brown and indigenous people of Venezuela saying, we want to be able to pick our leader. We want to be able to sell our oil on the market, and we want to be able to keep it for ourselves. And it's the United States saying, no, we would rather have a white minority run the country so that we can go back to like we had the old days when the Rockefellers ran the oil in Venezuela and they pumped it all out. We can go back to 1993. That's why the U.S. has made it in Iran. Iran's evil. Why is it Iran evil? Evil because in 1993, look at a book called All the Shah's Men. 1953, the government was upset. Why? Because Mohammad Mossadegh, the legitimately democratically elected leader of Iran, said, hey, I'm nationalizing the oil, and this money is going to be used for the Iranian people. And the United States government and the Brits said, oh, no, it ain't. And they overthrew the government, and they instituted a brutal dictator, the Shah of Iran. Oh, wait a minute. We're always telling people who the dictators are, right? Installed a brutal dictator who then, look it up. What did the U.S. do when it installed the Shah of Iran? It split up the oil revenue. The U.S. took 50%. I think 20% went to the Brits and the U.K. and the rest was spread. Just like thieves who robbed the bank and said, you get 10%, you get 5%. I was the mastermind of this crime. I get 20%. That's what the U.S. did. They overthrew the government of Iran and stole their oil. They overthrew the government of Venezuela and stole their oil. And now they're looking to overthrow the government of Venezuela and steal their oil again. And either you buy into it and you're a brainwashed sap who's pushing, supporting racist imperialism who wants to steal the natural resources of brown people, or you believe some cockamamie crap about, I don't even understand people who still believe that he's a dictator stuff anymore. It makes no sense to me. But you know what? What are you going to do for the brainwashed? They're always going to believe it. Hey, there's a country with a lot of oil. No, that's not why we're there. We're there to free the people from a dictator. When's somebody going to free us from a dictator? Hey, hopefully it's the aliens. They're coming to free us from a dictator. But the bottom line is this. Here we sit at a crossroads as this country falls apart. And let me tell you, if they decide they're going to invade Venezuela, I don't think that's going to turn out well. I don't think that's going to turn out well, but we shall see what happens. Oh my gosh, it's Carolyn from Washington, D.C., who says, keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Carolyn. We're getting close, but we're still not there. We're getting close. So please call 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. I got a number that I got to hit in order to, you know, maintain, to hold up my part of the bargain. I want to hold up my part of the bargain. You know, I look at it as a privilege to be on WPFW. It's a privilege to me. And, you know, it's funny because I get people angry at me. Well, you're only saying this for this reason and that reason, or you're saying this for money or whatever. If I was doing it for money, I would have never left Fox. If this was money, why would I leave Fox if it was about money? I would have never left. I'd be there today saying something that I didn't believe and making a fortune doing it. But I couldn't say what I believed in at Fox, so I left. I left. And here I sit there in front of you as a volunteer. I don't get a dime for this. But it doesn't matter to me because I just say the things that I believe, and I like the ability to say what I believe. And you don't have to agree with it. But as I said, I will provide data sets. It's not whether you agree or not. It's whether you can provide the information, you can provide the documentation to support your hypothesis. That's all I'm doing. I ain't saying I'm right. I'm saying this is what the data appears to point to me. That's all I'm doing. And right now, the data points to the U.S. I'll put it like this. Here's what the data points to me. If you believe right now that the United States government is surrounding the country with the most oil reserves of any country in the world, with a bunch of warships, because they want to free the people from a dictator, you are so naive and brainwashed that at this point, you're almost hopeless. You're almost hopeless if you think that with all of the money that Venezuela has, that the United States is like, hey, there's a dictator there. We're standing for democracy. If you believe that, I don't know. I don't even know what you're doing at this point. You might as well just go walk off a cliff somewhere. If after what George W. Bush did, if the history of the United States attacking countries and stealing their oil, their gold, the United States governments literally sent Marines to Haiti where they did an amphibious invasion. They walked over to Haiti's a gold vault, took the gold out of the vaults and brought it back to New York. And if you, what do you think they were bringing, going to Haiti to bring them a democracy and the accident? Oh, what do you know? We better keep this gold safe for the Haitians. Well, they're still keeping it safe for the Haitians. So if you think now that somehow they've changed their stripes, they've turned around and they've decided to say, you know what, guys, this time, yeah, we've stolen everything that hasn't been nailed down for many, many years, centuries, in fact. But this time, we're just going to do it for the good of the order. Oh, really? Oh my gosh, Max says, look forward to future conversations. Thank you, Max in Crofton. Hey man, Max is right here in Anne Arundel County where I reside. I certainly appreciate that. All right, here's what we're gonna do. I got a great old school song for you. Those who remember this, well, this is gonna put a smile on your face. You know I love my old school, so every now I reach into my old school bag, right? So we're going into the old school bag, but here's what I gotta say. We're only at 64%. So what we need is we need people to call 202-588-9739. And please get me over the hump. And when you hear this old school song, I know you're going to want to contribute because I want to contribute. 202-588-9739 is the number. You can get in touch with me easy. My email is garlandn@gmail.com. Follow me online. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Telegram and all of that kind of stuff. You can find me there, garlandn@gmail.com. The number is 202-588-9739. Please call. Get us over the hump. We're out.
My horse, and I can't let you go. You are the one who, you are the one who makes me feel so.